Good morning. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on this morning's magazine, the PUC, or the Public Utilities Commission, will be meeting in Denver today. They're considering a rate increase proposal by Xcel Energy. We'll hear from Leslie Glustrom with Clean Energy Action. She's opposing the rate increase, saying there's abundant clean energy available at an affordable price, and there's no need to pass the cost of transitioning to cleaner fuel onto ratepayers. We'll hear more about the role of the PUC as we transition to cleaner energy, right after headlines. Then two regular Wednesday morning features, Make Them Hear You and Naturally with Brigitte Mars. After headlines from the BBC and a new commentary from Jim Hightower, we'll hear about the possibility of wolf reintroduction in Colorado. We'll revisit an interview aired earlier this year with proponents of a measure that could be on the 2020 statewide ballot to allow reintroduction of grey wolves in the state. At 9 o'clock, it's time for our annual Best Books of the Year show with our colleagues and friends from the Boulder Bookstore, just in time for the holiday season. We'll hear about the best fiction, non-fiction, science books, children's books and more. But first, the latest local headlines. Here's Jamie Sudler.
Officials from Boulder County are urging the Environmental Protection Agency to reconsider its planned relaxation of rules about methane emissions. The County Public Health Department released its official comments to the agency's proposed revisions, which would eliminate all emission regulations for oil and gas transmission and storage equipment. In addition, the Daily Camera reports that emission limits for methane at production and processing facilities would also be dropped. Jeffrey Zayak, the executive director of Boulder County Public Health, wrote to the EPA that air quality studies indicate a need for increased emission reductions and that controls at the federal level are the most effective to protect the entire country. The EPA has estimated that the new rules would allow an additional 370,000 tons of methane, 10,000 tons of volatile organic compounds, and hundreds of tons of other hazardous air pollutants to be released into the atmosphere in about 5 years. The county said that the EPA's allowance of the increased emissions would contravene the agency's mission to protect human and environmental health. NOAA and the University of Colorado at Boulder have concluded in a study that methane emissions from oil and gas production continue to rise at a rate of more than 3% a year. County Health Director Zayak said that that's still too much to protect children and elderly residents who are most impacted by air quality. Boulder County will join federal lawsuits filed against e-cigarette company Juul Labs. The county commissioners say that Juul's marketing targeted youth, contributing to a public health epidemic. Alejandra Wilcox has more.
Youth in Boulder County are using nicotine and vaping products at a rate among the highest in Colorado and the nation. That's according to a written statement from the Board of Boulder County Commissioners. The statement said that, among other things, Juul Labs targets teens through, quote, youth-oriented e-cigarette advertising campaigns, youth-friendly flavors, and sleek products. The board also noted that early tobacco use can carry on into adulthood. They cited a statistic that 95% of adult smokers say they used tobacco before the age of 21. Boulder County's stand against Juul follows the Food and Drug Administration's recent decision to develop guidelines that will remove all e-cigarette flavors except tobacco from the market. The FDA hopes this will stop the recent national surge of underage vaping. The Daily Camera reports that, as of early October 2019, more than 1,000 cases of vaping-related lung disease had been reported to the CDC. At least 34 people nationwide have died as a result of the lung disease, according to federal health data. The Washington Post reports that, while federal health officials suspect the cause of this lung disease to be related to some kind of chemical exposure, a single e-cigarette brand or vaping product has not yet been identified as the cause. Most patients reported using products with THC, officials say, which appears to be a leading factor in the national outbreak. Public health officials also believe that because e-cigarettes are marketed as a safer alternative to smoking traditional cigarettes, a new generation is becoming addicted to nicotine. Boulder City Council recently banned the sale of flavored vape products and raised the age to purchase tobacco to 21. Lafayette, Louisville, and Broomfield have adopted similar policies. More than 45% of Boulder Valley high school students say they have tried e-cigarettes, a Healthy Kids Colorado survey found. The same survey reported that only 50% of high school students see vaping as dangerous. compared to almost 90%, who say smoking traditional cigarettes is risky. Boulder County's written statement concludes, quote, "We are hopeful that the outcome of this lawsuit will allow us to more fully respond to the impacts of e-cigarettes on Boulder County youth, now and into the future." For KGNU, I'm Alejandra Wilcox.
A group of female pilots and flight attendants at Frontier Airlines filed suit yesterday against the carrier, alleging that it discriminated against them during their pregnancies and while they were breastfeeding. The eight women have several decades of flying experience among them. Their suit alleges that they faced mounting obstacles once they became pregnant that put them in positions to make impossible choices between their families and their livelihoods. The suit says that Frontier forced its employees onto unpaid leave at a certain point during their pregnancies with no possibility of receiving any accommodations that would have allowed them to continue working. They say they were deprived of incomes when they needed it most. The Denver Post reports that the airline offered no parental leave or only a short one following childbirth, and the plaintiffs say Frontier refused to make it possible for them to pump breast milk on the job, which was necessary if they were to continue breastfeeding. The suit alleges that one pilot was subjected to disciplinary action for seeking accommodations related to breast pumping, and she was prohibited from pumping while in uniform. In a statement, Frontier denied the allegations, saying that it offers a number of accommodations to pregnant and lactating pilots and attendants, while also seeking to protect public safety. Supporters of a ballot initiative that would reintroduce wolves in Colorado presented state officials with more than 200,000 signatures. If the petitions are accepted, voters would decide next year whether to require wildlife commissioners to bring the gray wolves back on public lands west of the Continental Divide by the end of 2023. The proposal would also set up a fund to compensate livestock owners for any losses. The Denver Post reports that supporters of the initiative say that if it passed, a few hundred wolves across 16 million acres would help restore ecological balance by bringing back a much-needed predator. Deer and elk herds are out of kilter, they contend. Wildlife advocates see Colorado as a missing link in the efforts to connect wolf habitat from the Arctic to Mexico. In 2016, state wildlife commissioners passed a resolution opposing any reintroduction, and livestock organizations around the state are rallying to oppose the measure, saying that wolves cannot peacefully coexist in a state with 6 million people. Wolf supporters have raised $1 million and are accelerating their efforts, according to the president of the Rocky Mountain Wolf Action Fund. Colorado election officials will now determine whether enough signatures were turned in to place the wolf reintroduction initiative on the ballot. Stay tuned for an extended interview with the proponents of wolf reintroduction coming up at 8:35. In the weather today, highs will be around 48 under increasingly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, the highs will stay in the upper 40s with a chance of rain after 5 p.m. Right now, it's about 28 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
It is 14 minutes past 8 o'clock. Well, a lot of attention has been paid to changes at the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission since the most recent state legislative session passed a law tasking the state agency with changing how it regulates oil and gas. But less attention has been paid to changes at another agency that also plays a big role in energy regulation, and that is the PUC, the Public Utilities Commission. Well, the PUC will be meeting today to decide whether or not to approve a rate increase that's been proposed by Xcel Energy. Leslie Glustrom with the Clean Energy Action has been testifying before the PUC for many years, advocating for clean energy. I asked her why she's opposing this rate increase by Xcel.
This particular deliberation, which will happen, I think, today, Wednesday, December 11th, will be a deliberation on Xcel's most recent request for a rate increase. And while we might think, oh, well, if they're increasing rates to do more renewables, well, then okay. But it's not. It's to pay off a lot of fossil fuel expenditures and transmission and distribution and salaries and lots of other things. They've had over $500 million in increased revenue since 2007, even though their sales have been flat and their system size has been flat. But as a monopoly utility, they just need to keep coming in to get another rate increase. And then they've told us they're going to come in 2020 for another rate increase. And then I think about places like Fort Collins. They don't have shareholders, and they don't have to go through this whole process. So Longmont the same way, and Loveland and Colorado Springs. They make their decisions locally with a very accountable city council, whereas all of our decisions are made down in that very, very, very black box known as the Public Utilities Commission.
For people who aren't familiar with that agency, as I said at the beginning, there's been so much attention paid to the COGCC, Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, how they're changing their rulemaking process. What do we know about the PUCC? Who are the commissioners who serve on that, who ultimately make these decisions when it comes to not just rates, but some of these other issues that you're touching on as well around municipalization and various different things? The PUC plays a big role in all of this. So who are the commissions? What's the rulemaking process? What kind of state oversight do they have?
Yeah, excellent. Great question. Thank you. The Colorado Public Utilities Commission is three commissioners. They're appointed by the governor, and no more than two can be from the same party. So you can have two Democrats and an independent, or two Republicans and a Democrat, or things like that. So currently, the good news is we have a much better commission than we've had in a long time. Chairman is Jeff Ackerman. Then we have Francis Concilia from Pueblo, and John Gavin, who's been very active on tri-state issues and very, frankly, smart fellow from the Delta Montrose area. And we have three, I would say, really quite sharp commissioners. But they face just sort of inertia from the past. Xcel was in the habit of just spending lots of money on their fossil fuel system. This rating decrease involves spending over $100 million a year on operating and maintenance expenses for their fossil fuel generation. And when you have old coal plants and gas plants, they always are breaking this, that, or the other thing. It's like an old car. You need to fix this, or fix this boiler, or fix these tubes, or fix this fan. And every time you do that, it's often $3, $5, $10 million. And when you add that all up, it's many tens of millions of dollars a year that we're using to maintain the old system instead of saying, listen, it's time to walk away from that old system and move to the new lower cost. But Xcel makes a profit when they make capital expenditures on their old coal and gas plants. And they also make a profit when they buy new oil and gas plants and coal plants. And so they want to reduce their carbon, but there's money to be made from their old fossil fuel system. So these three commissioners, who are very good, will have to sort of sort through all of this. And that's difficult when, you know, it's like when there's a big smokescreen there that they have to kind of find their way through. So that's what we'll find out tomorrow afternoon, is how well they've been able to see through all of this incredible complexity that's going on down at the commission, at the Utilities Commission.
As I said, there has been so much attention paid to overhauling the COGCC in the wake of recent state legislation. Were there any similar efforts made around the PUC as we are transitioning largely, whether it's at a municipal level or at a large utility level like Xcel, really seeing big transitions to cleaner energy? Is the PUC in need of overhaul? Do things need to change there as we're seeing changes at the COGCC?
Yes, excellent question again. And yes, in 2019, the Colorado State Legislature, under the leadership of Governor Polis, and frankly under the leadership of the Boulder delegation, Representative Becker, the Speaker of the House, Senator Fenberg, the Majority Leader in the Senate, and then lots of, you know, Representative Foote and lots of Boulder County legislators. And they really did pass a very massive PUC overhaul bill. And it'll help the process. But as we'll also learn from COGCC, it's one thing to write a law that says this is the direction we want you to go. And it's another thing to get a big state agency that has a lot of history and a lot of culture. And it has an industry that carries a lot of weight there. We've seen the same thing with the oil and gas industry at the COGCC. So the legislature has set a clear direction. They set a clear direction for the Utilities Commission back in 2004. They said, give the fullest possible consideration to clean energy technologies. Well, we haven't given the fullest possible consideration. We've spent $2 billion on fossil fuel assets. So it's a long process of social change. The good news is we're making progress. The Boulder legislative delegation and Governor Polis have really helped move this process forward, but it all takes a tremendous amount of time, and the industry has so much power that it all moves much more slowly than I think those of us that are profoundly concerned about the climate crisis. We know that we need to be moving much faster, but our system is designed to move slowly. And there's some good in moving slowly sometimes, but you know, now we're in a situation where we really, really need to be moving much faster.
Well, give us an example of what would a change at the PUC look like, as you said, moving too slowly, but what needs to happen urgently, you know, in terms of very specific PUC rulemaking?
Yes, there are about five different rulemakings going on, and they're all big and complex. But let's just, for KGNLU listeners, just let's remind ourselves where we are. In the fall of 2017, Xcel received over 50,000 megawatts of wind, solar, and storage bids. That's enough to run their system two or three times over. They took 2,000 megawatts of those wind, solar, and storage bids. That's great. But 2 out of 50 is the same as 4 out of 100. So they left 96% of these wind, solar, and storage projects on the table. If half of those projects are bad for whatever reason, they still left 90% on the table. And what was what we need to do as a society, a lot like what we did during World War II, when we finally decided that Hitler really was a serious threat and we really needed to engage. And Franklin Roosevelt said, okay, we're going to completely transform our economy and we're going to do it in less than 2 years. And because it was back then, he said, let no man say it can't be done. Now, of course, we wouldn't say just man now, but the important point is he determined our country to just completely transform in a very short amount of time. And we have the technology to do that. I'm of the opinion that we should be aiming for the 70 to 80% renewable energy for now, because we don't have long-term storage at a reasonable price yet. But Xcel is at about, they're probably at about 30% renewable energy at this point, maybe a little bit above, we'll find out. But we should be aiming for 60, 70, 80, and we should be doing it in a couple of years. It's not a technical problem. It's not an economic problem. We have the technologies. They're very cost effective. And if we set our minds to it, and if Xcel would set their minds to this, as opposed to, there's still some money to be made from our fossil fuel system, so we're going to keep running that. We're going to move towards carbon. We're going to say we're going to move quickly towards carbon, but they're not really moving quickly. It's kind of like saying you're going to lose weight or you're going to clean up your room or whatever. You can say it, but to actually do it is a different thing. So we'd have to, as a society, say, you know, this planet is actually worth something. There's no other planet like it. And we're gonna do what we did during World War II, which is to completely transform in just a few short years. And we could do that in Colorado particularly, but we still need to build that political will and that sense of urgency. And we're rewriting the rules, but that's not going to get us there as fast as we need to go.
Well, give us an example of what would a change at the PUC look like, as you said, moving too slowly, but what needs to happen urgently, you know, in terms of very specific PUC rulemaking?
Yes, there are about five different rulemakings going on, and they're all big and complex. But let's just, for KGNLU listeners, just let's remind ourselves where we are. In the fall of 2017, Xcel received over 50,000 megawatts of wind, solar, and storage bids. That's enough to run their system two or three times over. They took 2,000 megawatts of those wind, solar, and storage bids. That's great. But 2 out of 50 is the same as 4 out of 100. So they left 96% of these wind, solar, and storage projects on the table. If half of those projects are bad for whatever reason, they still left 90% on the table. And what was what we need to do as a society, a lot like what we did during World War II, when we finally decided that Hitler really was a serious threat and we really needed to engage. And Franklin Roosevelt said, okay, we're going to completely transform our economy and we're going to do it in less than 2 years. And because it was back then, he said, let no man say it can't be done. Now, of course, we wouldn't say just man now, but the important point is he determined our country to just completely transform in a very short amount of time. And we have the technology to do that. I'm of the opinion that we should be aiming for the 70 to 80% renewable energy for now, because we don't have long-term storage at a reasonable price yet. But Xcel is at about, they're probably at about 30% renewable energy at this point, maybe a little bit above, we'll find out. But we should be aiming for 60, 70, 80, and we should be doing it in a couple of years. It's not a technical problem. It's not an economic problem. We have the technologies. They're very cost effective. And if we set our minds to it, and if Xcel would set their minds to this, as opposed to, there's still some money to be made from our fossil fuel system, so we're going to keep running that. We're going to move towards carbon. We're going to say we're going to move quickly towards carbon, but they're not really moving quickly. It's kind of like saying you're going to lose weight or you're going to clean up your room or whatever. You can say it, but to actually do it is a different thing. So we'd have to, as a society, say, you know, this planet is actually worth something. There's no other planet like it. And we're gonna do what we did during World War II, which is to completely transform in just a few short years. And we could do that in Colorado particularly, but we still need to build that political will and that sense of urgency. And we're rewriting the rules, but that's not going to get us there as fast as we need to go.
Leslie Glustrom is with Clean Energy Action, speaking about Xcel Energy's rate increase proposal in front of the Public Utilities Commission today. They're meeting in Denver. It is 8:24. You're listening to KGNU.
Support comes from the Highland City Club, located in the historic Highland Building in downtown Boulder, home to many of Boulder's creative artists, authors, and entrepreneurs. For more information at highlandcityclub.com. Make
them hear. This is Make Them Hear You with ideas how you can have your voice heard before Congress. First, the government is not actively promoting it like it used to, but enrollment for 2020 health insurance is open until December 15th. The cost may be lower than you expect. Healthcare.gov provides complete plan information. Call 1-800-318-2596 or visit localhelp.healthcare.gov. And now for today's suggested action, the MORE Act, Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act, recently passed the House Judiciary Committee by a vote of 24 to 10. The MORE Act is one of the most comprehensive marijuana reform bills ever introduced in the U.S. Congress. This legislation is also up in the Senate, so it's H.R. 3884 or Senate Bill 2227. The bill deschedules marijuana at the federal level and provides a roadmap for states to legalize in a just and equitable manner. In 2018 alone, over 663,000 Americans were still arrested for marijuana-related crimes. This act decriminalizes marijuana by removing it from the Controlled Substances Act. It requires federal courts to expunge prior convictions, allows prior offenders to request expungement, and requires courts, on motion, to conduct resentencing hearings for those still under supervision. It also authorizes a 5% sales tax on marijuana and marijuana products to create an opportunity trust fund, which includes three grant programs. First, the Community Reinvestment Grant Program for those most adversely impacted by the war on drugs. Then the Cannabis Opportunity Grant Program, providing loans for small marijuana businesses owned by disadvantaged individuals. And finally, the Equitable Licensing Grant Program, providing funds for programs that minimize barriers to marijuana licensing. It opens up Small Business Administration funding for legitimate cannabis-related businesses and service providers. It provides non-discrimination protections for marijuana use or possession and for prior convictions for a marijuana offense. It prohibits the denial of any federal public benefit, including housing, based on marijuana. It provides that marijuana issues will have no adverse impact under immigration laws, and it requires the Bureau of Labor Statistics to collect data to ensure people of color are participating in the industry. Quote, I have long believed that the criminalization of marijuana has been a mistake, and the racially disparate enforcement of marijuana laws has only compounded this mistake, said Chairman Gerald Nadler. Today, the Judiciary Committee has taken long overdue steps to address the devastating injustices caused by the war on drugs and to finally decriminalize marijuana at the federal level, close quote. If you have thoughts on the MORE Act, you can contact your senators and your House representative. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
You're listening to Community Radio KGNU. Time now for Naturally.
Good morning. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars. As we move into a new year, a lot of us are thinking about things that maybe we want to give up. And I want to talk about things that we can bring into our life. It seems that we are a culture that is looking for little fixes, sweet treats. I mean, we have all these ditties going around in our head like, I haven't got time for the pain, or you deserve a break today. You know, really. So what are some healthy ways that we can reward ourselves after a day's work well done? And I think it's important to have some allies that we can call upon that soothe our soul and make us feel complete and treated well. So an aromatherapy bath is one of my favorite allies. You don't even have to use that much water, but adding 7 drops of lavender oil can help sleep, lift our spirit from the blues. Rosemary essential oil is great for sore muscles and can inspire vivid dreams. So might want to do that. I also think that our culture has lost the art of doing things with our hands. That, you know, if we go back a generation or two, people were making things with their hands, whittling, crocheting, sewing, embroidery, quilting, even origami in some parts of the world. And I think that we often choose bad habits to deal with our nervousness or our boredom. And it can lead to things like overeating and so forth. So maybe this is the year you want to think about a craft that you could do. Whittling, crochet, knitting, embroidery, mending your clothes. That's a great way to be eco-conscious, to mend your clothes rather than just throwing them away. So it may be that you have to go to a craft store and get yourself some supplies, but it's so great for our self-esteem to be able to make things. And sketching might be another way to reward ourselves. We may find that reading a novel or a magazine or making a phone call and actually chatting with a friend, going for a walk. So make sure we plan some time to nurture ourselves, reward ourselves for a day's work well done. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.